from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Happy Juneteenth, everyone. No Sabres Live or One Bills Live today. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt going to be along with you here for the next 3 hours from 12 to 3. We've got Hungary and Germany going on here in the Euros. We earlier on in the day had Albania and Croatia. That was a really, really fun game. As somebody that tried watching all of it, missed the equalizing goal from Albania in stoppage time. That game ended up finishing 2-2. That was a lot of fun. But where me and Josh want to start here today, because we thought it'd be a fun topic, because we're both very young. It is the 25th anniversary of No Goal, as the Buffalo Sabres did, of course, lose to the Dallas Stars in the 99 Cup Final. We kind of want to talk about it because, well, neither of us were really alive at the time. I was, I think, about a year old at about that time, a little bit over a year.
When's your birthday again?
April 27th, 1998.
Okay, mine was April 16th, 1999.
So you were like 3 weeks old. I was about a year and some weeks old.
No. I was...
There you go.
2 months and 2 days old. 2 months and 3 days old.
So Josh was 8 weeks old, and yeah. I was a year and like 8 weeks old. Yeah. So neither of us have any sort of memories about this game. And it is a game that I think lives in Buffalo infamy. I know a lot of people who talk about it still talk about it with some venom in their voice
when they
do so. And so that's kind of where we want to take a little bit of the show today, is just to call in and to share your memories on that. Where do you sit with it? Because for me, ultimately, Josh, and like I kind of felt this way, like I felt weird in these Stanley Cup playoffs not hating Dallas, because I didn't really have any towards of like ill will towards them. I don't remember the game. I mean, like, to me, there's the Dallas Stars. They're a Dallas team, so they're a little unlikable for that reason. But outside of that, like, I didn't have any of that venom towards them. I don't have that memory of them taking away a chance at a Stanley Cup trophy for the Sabres. What I have for this team, and this is probably controversial, is a team that ultimately was carried by their goaltender.
Yes.
And that was about it.
Like, it's very fair to say that because Dominic Hasek was the best goaltender on the planet.
I look at that team and tell me if I'm wrong. I want to hear stories about this team, because unlike the 90s Bills, I feel like I never hear anything about this team other than, oh, Hasek was amazing. Hasek is the reason my son's name is Dominic, kind of deal. That's what I hear. And we were just looking at the stats before we came on air of what that team was. Because I, you know, again, don't really talk about this team other than No Goal. And it's interesting, man. It's interesting. Like, I mean, you have, you know, guys like Matthew Barnaby, of course, Shatan. I mean, Shatan's just fun because it's Satan spelled on the back, which is just a blast.
I had a Shatan jersey as a kid. My friends used to make fun of me. The people that didn't know who Shatan was, they were like, why are you wearing a Satan jersey? And I'm like, no, it's because it didn't have the thing.
No.
It didn't have the thing on it. And of course, I'm in like seventh grade, so everyone's just picking on everyone because that's how high school is.
Oh, yeah.
And
kids are mean.
It was just like, I could never wear this again. And now I can't wear it again because it's like a youth large, so it would never fit me. But plan one day is put it in a shadow box because it's signed it's signed by Rick Jenneret. So
there we go.
It's a very nice jersey. But no, this team, I was actually just looking through the roster, and something that I found that's really interesting that I never knew about, and I probably should have, the Sabres had a Nigerian player on that team.
Did they really?
Yeah. He only.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
He played a total of 11 games for the Sabres over a course of 3 years, and he was a defenseman. I never knew that. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. That's really interesting.
See,
he was drafted third round, 1994.
Huh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
The big thing I've taken away from this, and it's a quick look. I haven't really been able to like zero in on this. One of their oldest players was Hasek. He was 34 years old during this. And this does kind of feel like this season was sort of like his magnum opus. Like, this is what everyone remembers him for, of taking the Sabres team to the Cup final. Maybe Detroit later on.
I was
going to
say, he did a lot with Detroit.
But in terms of his Sabres career.
Yes, right.
This feels like kind of like this was his creme de la creme. I didn't realize how young a lot of the top-end players on this team were for the Sabres.
Oh, yeah.
Shatan's 24 at this time. Pekka's 24. Groshnik's 23. Woolley's 29. Matthew Barnaby's 25.
But if you think about it, like, Shatan was with the Sabres until 2004. Like, and he started in Edmonton. He didn't even start in Buffalo. Yep. So, like, he was.
Jay McKee, by the way, was 21 on this team.
Mm-hmm. And Jay McKee was with the team that, you know, went to the Stanley Cup, should have gone to the Stanley Cup final. That's one I remember vividly, even though I was only like five.
You brought up Žižek as well during the break. He's 26 years old.
That was like his, you know, prime of like, this is the time
I didn't realize that a lot of their top end guys were very young. And the reason why I brought up those first three as well, those are their leading scorers. Shatan with 66 points, Pekka with 56, Groshnik with 50. They're also their three leading goal scorers. Shatan with 40, Pekka with 27, Groshnik with 20. I always thought of this team as like, I don't want to say older, but like the thought process I had with this team was like, they were more like, you know, grind out wins, you know, dominate with your goaltender, nothing else. And this is maybe wrong of me, but were the feelings with this team of like they're ascending and they've made the Stanley Cup earlier than maybe they should have? Maybe.
I think this was just one of those right place, right time kind of things.
Yep.
And because we were looking at it too. And it's been talked about today. This team had the same amount of points as last year's Sabres team that was 1 point out of the play, or 2 years ago, I guess, if you want to look at it that way.
Yep.
91. 91 points. But then again, you also have to remember, this team in 99, there was no overtime point.
Mm-hmm. So we do have a trade to announce, not for the Sabres, but just overall.
Oh, that trade's official now.
Yeah, so Frank Saravelli, he is saying that Travis Yost was first on this, but it is that the Flames are trading goaltender Jacob Markstrom to the New Jersey Devils. The details will be coming here probably in the next few hours, but I think it's going to be interesting as well because, and this is something we can talk about a little bit later, there is a lot of rumblings about something going on with Jeff Skinner and how, not necessarily a trade, but the Sabres potentially buying out his contract. And that is something I am all for. I am all for getting some of these young guys finally some minutes on the Sabres and on some of these, you know, I know they don't really go lines anymore, but on the top two lines, especially someone like a Jack Quinn or a J.J. Paterka. I think that'd be interesting. But
I'm really curious to see what New Jersey had to give up for Markstrom because he's not like...
I mean, you know, they're probably rebuilding.
He's not bad, but he's not like a consistently good goaltender. He has his moments where he just completely falls apart.
Yep.
But he is under contract for next season. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what that package is. And obviously if we get it before we're off the air here, we'll get it. And if not, you know, Trouble Bulldog will have that at three.
We do have some tweets though about, because I threw it out there a few hours ago of just like, like what were your memories of no goal? We do have a few of them. So getting connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, shop online at northtownkia.com. Laura tweets in, went to bed right after, waking up the next day, finding out it should not have counted, not enough adjectives to describe how angry I was, and still am 25 years later. We would have had to win one more game, but we were denied the chance. And then Mike tweets in, I'm still to this day really dislike Hull and dislike Dallas even more.
See, I, again, this is coming from my perspective of not being conscious for this.
Yep.
But I think I dislike Hull more than I dislike Dallas, just because of all of the like snide remarks and the stupid smile he always has.
That I
like,
do. That I do it's know just, about that.
Mm-hmm. It's frustrating. And like for me, like we've talked about this before. You grew up as primarily football. I grew up as primarily hockey. It was kind of it was instilled in me as at the very beginning of my hockey fandom. We do not like the Dallas Stars because they took something from us that we can never get back.
Yep.
And that was that. And it was the same thing with like Brett Hull. Like there was one time like
he specifically is the guy that
when
did
I
it.
Was like when I was like a teenager, I was like looking through like all like the records and stuff and I see Brett Hull's name a lot and I'm like, wow, this Brett Hull guy. My dad's like, "No. Never. Ever. Ever will you ever say that you like him or you think he's like a good player."
That is the one non-negotiable. Yeah, no,
you can look at any Boston Bruin. You can say anything about any of the Rangers players, anything about Ottawa or Toronto players. But if you ever say you like Brett Hull, that's like a cardinal sin. Like you just don't do that.
I love it.
It's just not. It's not correct. Like it's not. I won't even give him the satisfaction of saying, yeah, he was okay, but I don't like him. No,
I think it is wild though to like go back to his stats and like how different the league was and how different the goaltending position was to like see they had like a 70 goal season.
Well right.
Like that's insane.
Yeah. But it was also like that time the league was like struggling for goals.
And,
you know?
And like, then he's like, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like
right.
The league maybe, right, but right. I'm not. Just like that's insane. And it's also like you'll look at guys like Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky stats and it's just eye boggling where you're like, what do you mean they have 200 points in a season?
Well that's also like why I look at this team and I say, you know what? Like you talk about how little points these guys had, but this was an era where you didn't score that many goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was just like you win every game like 2-1 because your goaltender is incredible.
We were getting towards the New Jersey Devils dynasty, weren't we?
Where the Devils just scored one goal and did nothing.
Yeah, they were the worst.
Yeah, where they made the Islanders think they could play 90s hockey until 2024 and then keep going. This was just an era though where I think even though they didn't have that many high scoring players, it was the amount of players they had over like 30 points. Like they had 10 guys over 30 points, and that's what mattered.
It was kind of like everybody was contributing.
Right.
It was truly a team effort.
Right. It's not like the today where you have like, okay, I need 100 point scorer. I need 2 80 point scorers. I need 5 60 point guy. Like you don't need that. Like,
yeah.
You didn't need that, I should say. You do need that now, but you didn't need it back then.
Let's go to the phones here. We've got Brian on the line. Brian, good afternoon. How are we doing today, man?
Hey, good afternoon. I never call WGR, and of course, you guys bring up this topic, and I was punching digits before you even finished the introduction.
That's how we get you.
So in 99, as a young man watching the game, and I need something to do while I'm watching my teams play in really big moments so that I'm not stressing the entire game. So being an idiot, I was deciding to actually work on building a computer at the time that game was going on. And back in 99, these were big, ugly things. They weren't sleek and pretty like they are now. And we get to that goal. And of course, I've paused on what I was doing and I'm watching and, you know, my father's watching everything else. And that goal happens. And without even really knowing it, I actually snapped my motherboard in half as I was trying to install it into the computer.
Man. Oh, no.
And, even 25 years later, that still gets brought up to me by my elderly parents now.
Oh, yeah. I'd never let you live that down.
That's
all in good fun, but I'd never let you live that. Brian, what was your reaction, though, like once it kind of became known that like the goal shouldn't have counted? Because I know always like with Bulldog, it's he finds out way later when he gets back from his honeymoon. What about you?
Well, I mean, it was being talked about right as it was happening. Like, you know, they're showing the replays and they're like, I'm pretty sure that foot is in the crease. And, at that time, I was just waiting for some way for them to say, oh, you know what, we made a mistake, we're going to go on. It's like, there's no way they're going to do this to Buffalo again, are they? And of course they did it to Buffalo again. And then, you know, to your earlier conversations about Hull, I just remember a couple years later where they were brought up the goal, and he's like, oh, Buffalo just has to get over it. They just have to get over it. And I almost opened my computer to break the motherboard again.
Right, do it again. Do it again. Brian, thank you for the call. I think that's the thing. That would have set me off.
No, yeah. I think I remember what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And I man.
There's
like,
one.
Just thinking about that again, mm-hmm. like, it's the, oh, get over it. Like, what do you mean, get over it? Get over the fact that you cheated.
Like,
get over the fact that your goal shouldn't have counted.
That's like, the thing is, like, if you can be, like, a little coy with it and be like, no, you know, I mean, we got, you know, the lucky break there, but, you know, history will remember us as winning the cup. Fine. Like, be a little coy with it. That's fine. But no. If, like, you're going to act like and try to gaslight people and be like, nah, just get over it, man.
What? From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not how this works.
My dream playoff scenario has always been the Sabres play like their biggest rivals in the East, like the Bruins, the Canadiens, or the Bruins, well, maybe the Canadiens, but Senators, Bruins, Hurricanes, Maple Leafs, like those kinds of teams. Play those teams on your way to the Cup and mm-hmm. then beat Dallas in 6 games at home with a controversial goal in triple overtime.
See, you want the, oh man.
I want the whole thing. I want them to go through exactly what we went through.
I'm glad you brought up that point, the triple overtime point. I don't know how I will ever react to like these long overtime series defining games. Mm-hmm. Maybe not clinching.
We never
games
really had that. Even when we were kids, mm-hmm. when the Sabres were making the playoffs up to the start of the drought, I don't think they ever went to overtime. I'm trying. I mean, there might be stuff when I was like, you know, 2 or 3 that I don't remember. But yeah. Like starting from the 05-06 run, I think there was a couple games that went to overtime, but mm-hmm. never like double overtime.
Yeah.
Because I remember my parents would always let me stay up. Like I was a little kid, but it was like, oh, like it's the playoffs. Mm-hmm. School's almost over, or I wasn't even in school yet. And it was like, you know what? It's special. Let's watch it. But I don't remember anything going to double overtime or more.
I don't know how I'm going to handle it. Like, and especially it's an elimination game. The idea of it going to triple overtime.
I mean, that's two in the morning.
Especially, like, ultimately, the game is tied 1-1.
Right.
So, like, there hasn't been this, mm-hmm. I don't want to say not a ton of action, but ultimately, like, there has not really been
action.
Yeah.
Hasek had, like, 50 saves.
And that's my thing there. It's like, I'm living on the edge of him, which, to be fair, we have most of the season. I get it. But that is a place I don't want to be. I love every now and then like a great goalie performance. Mm-hmm. But if it's an elimination game and we've had to do this all night and we're not getting any goals, my hair would be out of my skull.
But you also,
the stress level my body would go through would be immense.
But you also have to think about it. Like that feeling of having like the good goaltender where like when Ryan Miller was here, this is how I felt about it. And I'm sure many people felt the same way, if not more, about Dominic Hasek. If there's a breakaway or 2-on-1, even a 3-on-1, oh, he's got it. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
There is that level of we're okay.
Right. Whereas like for the past 13 years, the Sabres have struggled with goaltending up until recently. I mean, this past season, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen really found his stride. We'll see if that can continue. But
that was very stunning for a lot of fans.
Yeah, right. But I remember towards the end of this season, I started to not get that feeling back, but like there'd be moments where I'm like, oh yeah, UPL's got this. Mm-hmm. Like he can do it. But for this whole drought, it's been this, oh my God, like what'd Carter Hutton do today? Or what did Robin Leonard do last night? It was this constant of not knowing what you were going to get at the other end of the ice. And that was where it stems, like everything stems from the back in this case, because then it's like, you know, the rest of your players in front of the goaltender aren't going to play as, you know, not lazy, but like they're going to play a lot more tight and they're going to play a lot more like, I need to get this puck out of here right now because if they shoot it, it's going to go in because I don't trust that guy back there. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of feeling.
Yep.
And that's where it leads to all these mistakes and all these issues and even more goals against. So it's all, in hockey, it's funny because like in some sports with goaltenders, it's not the goaltender's fault most of the time. But in hockey, if you have an elite goaltender, you can probably make it to like the quarterfinals of the playoffs every year.
Just like, because, yeah.
Look at even like the last teams the Sabres made the playoffs with. It was Ryan Miller.
Well, I didn't like, say look at this series going right now in the Stanley Cup Finals with how good Bobrovsky's been for Florida really up until recently.
But Florida has certified goal scorers, certified point getters. Yes. Like the end of the Sabres playoff runs, you had Jason Pominville and Thomas Vanek.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are the guys I remember. And kind of Drew Stafford.
Yeah.
And then it's like Ryan Miller. Like that's all you needed.
Yep.
To just get to the playoffs.
Well, I mean, but more like Florida's like just for a good bit of the series, like it was just like Edmonton has no chance. Like they're up 3-0. Bob's making amazing saves.
Right.
And they're able to score on you. And I mean, look, up until recently, we were sitting here, the storyline of the Stanley Cup final this year was Connor McDavid has no points. And we're through two games or three games, I think. He still had no points.
That was through game two. Through game two, he had no points. Through game three, he had no goals.
Okay.
I think he scored his first goal in game four, but he had two assists in game three.
But ultimately, it's now, in the last two games, he's had 8 points. And through the last three, he's got 10. So, I mean, it's just
And
it's
he's absurd. He's 5 points away from beating Wayne Gretzky's single playoff record.
Sorry, yeah, he had 1 point through two games. It was one assist. Yeah, he didn't score until game four. And then now he's got 3 goals, and he's been pretty darn good the entire way. But really, it was more just Bob was really setting up Florida really, really well. This is kind of the same thing, was setting up the Sabres really, really well. The difference was, I mean, you brought up it was much more team scoring, but you look at the Stanley Cup final against Dallas. They win game one 3-2 in overtime. They then lose the next two games, scoring a total of 3 goals. They lose 4-2 and then 2-1. They win game four 2-1. They then are shut out in game five, 2-0, and then of course they do lose game six, 2-1. That team was not scoring. Like they were very much working off of please save us Dominic Hasek.
Right.
And I think this is the thing. That might also be why like I will never like look back at this team and go, oh, what could have been, and I get it, that's more ignorant by me of just I didn't really live to see it. I guarantee I'd feel much more differently if I was like 10 years old when this happened or 12 years old when this happened.
Oh yeah, I look at
the stats and I'm like, I mean, I happy to be there is maybe a bad way to put it, but like it's maybe almost that feeling.
But I look back at this time and it's like, everyone always asks, like, oh, if you could go back in time, where would you go? I would go back in time at this age to that season. Like, because it's one thing when you're, like, when you're watching, like, when I was, you know, 5 or 6 when the Sabres were going to the Eastern Conference Final against Carolina, it was exciting, it was fun, but I'm a little kid. Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine the feeling of, like, just having your buddies over and watching the game. And just getting really excited. Like, you know, like it sounds really like probably cliche or whatever, but like that's the feeling that we all want. That's the feeling we all want back through this drought. And being able to just like just watch hockey and have it like mean more than just a regular season game.
Being able to go like to party in the plaza and stuff like that with your buddies.
I don't,
go get you know adult beverages before the game or after the game.
And like obviously like we've gotten this a lot in the past few years with the Bills, but it's like I don't really know what it means to be in a game of this magnitude, right? Like I don't know what it means for my team to be. It's game seven and it's almost the end of the first overtime and my favorite player is on a breakaway. Like I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it, but
my emotions are all over the place.
Imagine the feeling it would be just watching it at home, let alone in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just like thinking about all this stuff. Like it's why Buffalo needs playoff hockey back, because when you look at the crowds of those games, any playoff series the Sabres have ever been in, it is what I think is like the closest thing we'd ever get to like seeing what a soccer match would be like in terms of pandemonium. Because in some of these soccer matches, you have 80,000 people ready to run down onto the field because their team just scored a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm not trying to, you know, compare sports here or whatever, but it's just, it's that feeling I feel like we've all been chasing for 13, 14, 15 years. Like,
I can agree to that.
That's what we're all looking for.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's get Mitch on the line here before our first time out. Mitch, how are we doing today, my man?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well, doing well.
Good. Hey, so I used to, in 99, I was actually working at the arena. I was doing an internship for the changeover crew that would change the arena over from hockey to soccer to football or whatever it was. And it was probably one of the most stressful times when you're watching the games. I'm in my early 20s, and yeah, my hair is about to fall out during every game. I absolutely love the characters on the team. You know, Hasek was awesome, but you know, you had Jitnik, you had all these guys. Miroslav Shatan was awesome. He hurt his foot actually a game or two in the series before that, and I was literally sitting next to the Zamboni door, waiting for whatever's happening during the game at 3 o'clock in the morning in triple overtime. And the media was right here, right there with me. And they just busted open the doors when Brett put his foot in the crease and scored the goal. It was insane. 3 o'clock in the morning. And it was just, there were videos of people like passed out in the stands. It was insane.
I didn't even think about that either, Mitch, of like just how, now at that point, it's early in the morning. Like, you're not going to sleep after a game like that, especially an ending like that. It's 24 hours now, baby.
No, and it was the hardest part was watching them throw their gloves up in the air and all the pandemonium, and watching Lindy Ruff was going nuts. And I remember watching Lindy Ruff screaming, and then Gary Bettman with his hands, like, you know, kind of like crossed, like, okay, whatever. And we just basically, you know, after that all happened, we basically, the whole crew that were working on the arena, we literally just walked back to where we had to go and kind of like waited till everything calmed down before we could go back on there and clean everything up.
Oh, man. So your day ended at like 6 a.m, right? I mean, it's the sun was up at that point.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mitch, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for the call.
No problem. Thank you.
Oh, man.
I love how he emphasized after Brett Hull put his foot in the crease and scored. Like,
oh,
thank
you.
But yeah, no, like that's one of my favorite parts, too, is like Lindy Ruff, like on the bench during the cup presentation, just screaming his head off. Like,
yeah,
that's probably one of the coolest things in terms of like, your coach is there for your team and your city.
That's a big part of why, like, I've really gotten behind like Ruff being back. I was initially very leery about it. I loved the opening press conference and stuff like that. I still don't love how quickly it was, or how quickly it was done.
I've kind of gotten over that though. Like, I don't think it's like that big of a deal. Like, it seems like something that was like working up for long term, and then obviously Lindy got fired from New Jersey like well before the season ended, well before the Sabres fired Don Granato. So
they were probably talking about it well.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You got to imagine like this was already a thought in their heads of like, you know, hey, if we do move on, that's an interesting candidate right there. Mm-hmm. And then when it was, hey, we've moved on, boom.
But like now I'm at a point of like it is the stuff of like you get goosebumps of like him just like yelling on the bench and just so much emotion. Like I'm really into it. Like I want to be there for one of those first games in the States because of course they open up the season in Prague, the first two games.
Actually, they have a preseason game on September 27th in Germany against it's actually against J.J. Paterka's old team in Germany.
Oh, very cool. Yeah,
so that'll
be
fun.
They're kind of doing like an international series kind of deal.
Yeah, and they've done this before. Like recently, most recently was in Sweden back in 2019. Yeah, 2019. They opened the season in Sweden. That was when they played the Lightning, and I think, it was Dahlin. Got that elbow to the face. Mm-hmm, he was out for a little bit for the concussion. Yeah, good times.
Got to take our first time out here. No Sabres Live or One Bills Live today. Happy Juneteenth, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt hanging out with you here for the next 3 hours. If you want to join the show, 803-0550. What do you remember from No Goal? Me and Josh were at best infants. We don't really have any memories of that. The most we've got is stats and some old game footage. But outside of that, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you remember from it. What are you feeling still 25 years on with today being the 25th anniversary? Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here until 3 o'clock on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.